Welcome to Healthy Her, the podcast designed to inspire women to lead lives filled with health and happiness. I'm Dr. Amy Brenner, your host discussing nutrition, hormones, aesthetics, sexual health, and more. Join us each week as we dive into feeling better, looking better, and living better. Do you have unexplained weight gain? Do you have diabetes or insulin resistance and think you're doing everything right and don't really know why? Do you have memory issues? Maybe somebody you know has dementia, autoimmune disease? Well, what do all of these things have in common? They could be as simple as you may have the wrong bacteria in your gut. So today, we are going to be talking about a special bacteria that can be linked to so many medical conditions or problems. We have my favorite doctor in the world here, Dr. Jennifer Tiemann, again on the podcast, and we are going to be talking about a specific bacteria.
That's right. So Akkermansia has really made its way and has been taking the functional medicine world by storm, and we're really going to dig into that today.
Yeah. So it's like at least all over my news feed, like watch this webinar, read this email. Like I think all of our functional medicine heroes, Dr. Hyman, Dr. Peter Attia, like all these people that kind of are famous in the functional world are also talking about this drug.
And what I really respect about those two physicians that you mentioned is they are so well researched. And when they're going to talk about a topic, you know they've really done their homework. And I feel like that's where we are with Akkermansia now.
Yeah. And we've done our homework.
Absolutely, we have.
Yes.
Of course.
So Akkermansia, I was just going to spell it. Like, is this the right spelling? Because it's weird. Akkermansia.
Yes.
Now, I was the spelling bee champ of my grade school, grades 5 through 8. But
I did not know that, but I am not surprised.
Yes. Yeah, so spelling a word is really important, especially when I'm listening to it. And then I want to go Google it myself. So anyway, so what is Akkermansia? And how could just a bacteria be related to all these medical conditions?
Yeah. So I feel like the reason we're hearing about it now is because it took a while for technology to catch up. So until recently, we didn't know how to measure Akkermansia. And if you can't measure it, you can't study it. So once the technology was in place, one specific company really took the bull by the horns and conducted some very scientifically based research trials and kind of proved what Akkermansia can do for us. So it's considered a keystone bacteria in our gut. And keystone just really means how important it is in kind of our entire gut ecosystem. When a keystone bacteria is low, the entire microbiome can change its reaction. So we are kind of born, you know, through when we pass through our mother's birth canal, you know, and then when we're breastfed, that's our first exposure to Akkermansia. By age one, we should have stable colonies of Akkermansia in our gut, but not all of us were breastfed. Not all of our mothers had adequate colonies of Akkermansia themselves. Some of us were on several rounds of antibiotics before age 3 for strep throat and ear infections. Some of us were not fed a fiber-rich diet of whole foods in the first 3 years of life exposed to processed foods. And so all of these factors can contribute to failure for us to have healthy levels of Akkermansia, which then goes on to impact our gut and our health in a really negative way.
A lot of so it's all set like by the time you're little, or can you have it and then it go away?
So the idea is with all of our good bacteria, we are trying to get those good colonies established when we're young. However, there are so many different things that can influence. So I would say diet is number one. People who eat a diet that's really high in fat, low in fiber, and by that, it's not that the fat itself is causing a bad microbiome. I don't agree with that. But often, if you do have a high-fat diet, you're just not really hungry for a lot of fiber-rich foods. That absolutely can set us up to have something called dysbiosis, which is going to be just a lack of diversity in the good bacteria, Akkermansia being a primary one. Foodborne illness. So food poisoning is so common, and a lot of times we don't even think about it when we return from the vacation, and maybe our symptoms went away, maybe they're lingering a little bit, but that's going to also be a huge reason that people get set up for kind of a disordered microbiome. That can be an overgrowth of things that aren't supposed to be there, which then inhibit a lot of the good things. Antibiotics, you know, so many times what we're exposed to is actually a viral infection, but we want to feel better faster.
Yeah. So can you call me in a Z-Pack? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Right there, you are going to destroy your good bacteria. Now, most people, after they finish their course of antibiotics, their gut is going to repopulate. You got to be eating fiber to do that. So you go back on your high-fat American diet, you're not going to be repopulating that microbiome. And I think that's where the traditional medicine system isn't telling people any of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking specifically about one bacteria called Akkermansia. But you've mentioned a lot of stuff about the microbiome, but what is so special about this bacteria?
So Akkermansia, again, like being that keystone bacteria, it's going to influence the other good bacteria. And that would be number one. And then number two is it plays a role in three of our biggest concerns are metabolic health. So when I say that, I mean, do you have insulin resistance, prediabetes, diabetes? Are you overweight? Number two, your immune system, which we know that obviously helping us to fight infection. But more importantly, are we at risk for an autoimmune disease, our own body attacking us and causing, you know, a whole host of things? And then finally, systemic inflammation. Inflammation is the root cause of chronic disease, whether you're talking about cardiovascular disease or dementia. And so Akkermansia.
Or even cancer.
Or cancer. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. Akkermansia influences all three of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does somebody – well, let me back up because I think a lot of people are concerned about weight loss. Like, how specifically does Akkermansia cause weight loss?
Yeah. So Akkermansia stimulates the cells of the colon that produce GLP-1. So I bet a lot of our listeners have heard about GLP-1 agonists. Those are things like Ozempic, semaglutide, Wegovy, and then they've got some newer medications that are combo GLP-1 and GIP that would be your Mounjaros or your Leptbounds. So those drugs are agonists. So they are trying to stimulate those cells. And by stimulating those cells, they have a lot of positive effects. They decrease our blood sugar. They improve our insulin sensitivity. They decrease our appetite in terms of earlier satiety so that you're pushing away from the plate when you feel full. Akkermansia stimulates those identical cells. It stimulates GLP-1. So patients who have or people who have normal or optimal levels of Akkermansia are more likely to have all of those benefits with their metabolic health.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
It's pretty incredible. I'm actually going to tell everybody my personal experience with Akkermansia. For people that know me, like, I think my physicians I've seen said, yeah, you're definitely in the diabetic range. I've met some criteria of being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Other criteria, not so much. But at one point, I was taking 4 medications to control my blood sugar. Semaglutide, which is the GLP-1 agonist, metformin, Actos, and Jardiance. And I really closely monitor my blood sugar. If you could see, I always wear a glucose monitor. Tried lots of different like food medications. And I was diagnosed with low Akkermansia, which I look back now, like, I knew about that years ago, but we didn't have anything to do about it. We're like, oh, okay, well, this is low, but just take, you know, I've always taken a probiotic. But since I've been taking that for the last several months, it didn't happen overnight, but I've probably been doing it now, what do you think, like 5 or 6 months about then?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, at the 3 to 4 month mark is I noticed a profound effect on my blood sugars being normalized to the point where I really got rid of several of those medications and have been weaning down. In fact, last night in the middle of the night, I had to turn my monitor off because I get too many lows now. So I have to like actually decrease my medications even more. And I just turned off my monitor in the middle of the night because it just beeps too much if I get too low. And the only thing different is by taking this Acromancia supplement. Otherwise, I'm like, why would I have type 2 diabetes? I am not mm-hmm. overweight. I exercise most days. Like, I'm not only do I exercise, but I'm also really active with walking dogs and pickleball and doing CrossFit type of workouts. And the key for me was taking this Acromancia supplement. So,
yeah. And I love that you're so in tune with your blood sugars by wearing the continuous glucose monitor so that you can really see those trends. I think we also hope people just notice it in the day-to-day. How are they feeling? And then, of course, you know, what's being shown on the scale. The most impressive study with Acromancia followed patients for 3 months and actually showed a 0.6% reduction in hemoglobin A1C. That might not sound very impressive, but that is a significant decline in blood sugar, and for some people is enough to take them out of the diabetic range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's taking somebody from 6.0 to 5.4.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Huge.
Like, I was excited. My last hemoglobin A1C was 5.3. Versus, I guess that's right. I mm-hmm. hovered anywhere 5.9, 5.7. Like this weekend, I got mm-hmm. a bag. It was 5.3. So
it's incredible just yeah. by adding in a specific strain of good bacteria to the gut.
So let's talk to everybody about how does somebody find out if they have an appropriate or low level of Acromancia, and could this be causing some of their issues?
Yeah. So the easiest way to get to that information is through a comprehensive stool study. So I feel like most of us know about stool studies, and we think a bit of it if we had diarrhea and we, you know, that diarrhea wouldn't go away if we were concerned we were exposed to a parasite. And that's pretty old-fashioned technology. Literally, you know, give a stool sample and then either on a petri dish they're looking to grow that whatever bacteria is not supposed to be there or grow the eggs from the parasite. The technology has advanced significantly so that now it's all PCR and DNA based. So the stool is actually, we're picking up in that testing the signals from the bacteria and amongst a lot of other things that we can look at through your stool. But it's a pretty simple test. I mean, you just collect a stool sample at home. There are a couple caveats. So if you were taking a probiotic, we would have you stop that 3 days before the testing. We would also have you stop a digestive enzyme 3 days before. We would never want to do a stool test when you were actively taking an antibiotic. So we'd wait a good 2 weeks after you finished a course. And then other than that, you just provide the sample and we get it mailed in. There are lots of different companies on the market who are offering stool tests. We currently use one called the GI Map and have been really happy with the results.
Yeah. So we obviously see your Acromancia level, but this isn't the top of this conversation. I know we did another podcast. We can link back to that in the show notes of what all the stool test gives you, but just high level overview of what other information do people get other than their Acromancia level on the stool test?
Yeah. So first it will identify any pathogens in the system. So kind of the really bad bacteria, viruses, and then it's also looking for parasites, but again, the DNA signal. So you don't have to grow the egg. So it's a much more sensitive measure for picking up on chronic parasite infections. Then it's going to give you your...
Which sounds so rare. Like you're like, oh, I haven't traveled to the rivers in Africa or South America, but we see people have parasites all the time.
Yeah. My personal story, my dog, unfortunately, my golden retriever puppy got Giardia. And wow, did I end up learning a lot about how Giardia is transferred to humans so easily from our pets. You might not even know your dog has Giardia, you know, and then and I noticed, you know, I actually was treated for Giardia because I had so many symptoms related to it. And I feel like we just, it's in so many other places than we expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next, we're looking at your good commensal bacteria. So it's breaking it down into what are all the good bacteria we're looking for. There are approximately 9 of them. And then Akkermansia is one of those. So it will literally tell you your level of good bacteria. And of course, there's a certain reference range we want people to be in. Then it's going to look for opportunistic infections. So those are things that they're not necessarily bad, but the idea is when you have that dysbiosis, meaning you don't have those good bacteria to support the system, especially if it's one of the keystone bacteria, all of a sudden these other bacteria can overgrow and they can actually put you at risk for an autoimmune disease when that happens, and they can give you a lot of symptoms. So a lot of patients with SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, will have an overgrowth of bacteria that's actually, they're not necessarily bad, but they're growing in abundance. Then we're able to look at the actual function of the GI tract. So we can tell you about your digestive enzymes, how well your exocrine pancreas is working to break down food. We can tell you about fat malabsorption. We can look for antibodies against gluten in your stool. So really help to identify patients who are struggling with a gluten sensitivity. We look at how well you conjugate toxins from the gut. So obviously we all know about our environmental toxins, but our own hormones can be toxic to our system if we're not eliminating them accurately. And so that's something called beta-glucuronidase. And then we can tell you about inflammation markers. So there are some inflammatory bowel diseases, Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, that increase inflammation in the colon. We can tell you about all of that. So it truly is a comprehensive stool study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just for people, obviously, that, you know, have diarrhea, constipation, bloating, but like we use it for, you know, it could be a first line treatment for unexplained weight loss or unexplained weight gain, mm-hmm. blood sugar issues.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention secretory IgA. So that's how we look at leaky gut. So especially someone with autoimmune disease and wants to know, I've made these dietary changes, you know, maybe I did eliminate gluten and dairy, but I want to know about my gut barrier. I want to know if I have the protection I need from the outside world. We can tell you that with your comprehensive stools test. Yeah.
So somebody has low Akkermansia. Mm-hmm. Can we tell people, like, how do you fix it?
Yeah. So the most exciting news is you can actually now take Akkermansia. So there's a company called Pendulum, and its founder has over $100 million in investments in learning how to grow Akkermansia and put it in a pill form that someone can take. It took about 10 years of research to figure that out. It's a very labor-intensive process, which often goes along with the price tag of Akkermansia, but she has very specific clinical data to prove that when you're taking this probiotic, it's actually getting to the colon cells and making a difference.
So you can't just go out and say, oh, I'll take a probiotic and think that it's in there.
I have never come across a probiotic that contains Akkermansia. Now, there may be some newer ones that I'm not aware of, but no, if you have low Akkermansia, you specifically want to take a probiotic that contains usually only Akkermansia. We can talk about there are some other strains you can include in it. Yeah.
So since this came out, again, it's been all over everything that you and I read. And I have heard people say, like, oh, there's other companies other than Pendulum that are less expensive. Because that's a downside, is this Akkermansia supplement is, it's mm-hmm. not an inexpensive product that you could just get at the grocery store, or the drugstore. But I have seen some of those pop up.
Yeah.
I just don't think they have the data that Pendulum Therapeutics at this point has.
No. And Peter Attia did a really nice podcast with the founder of Pendulum, and the process which she had to go through to understand how to actually deliver Akkermansia in a pill form was years long and is one of the most rigorous and difficult processes. Secondly, Akkermansia must be refrigerated. So if you're receiving a shipment in the mail from a big box store and it's not refrigerated, you just lost your entire colony and you basically paid for nothing. So I think, you know, the quality of the product, I really stand behind the name brand.
And that's with, you know, we've talked about just supplements in general of how does the public, you know, they may hear us talk about this and then be like, oh, well, I saw it on Amazon for half the cost, or, you know, whether you're talking about Acromantia or a vitamin D supplement, like, unless you really know how to evaluate a product, like, you could be just wasting your money. It might not be that much money, but...
And there's just a huge business with counterfeit products that we've learned, you know, the hard way, really. And yeah, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can somebody say, look, I have diabetes, I have weight gain. Can I just take Acromantia, or do I need to do a test to know I have low Acromantia?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would always support the use of a comprehensive stool study to really back up the clinical recommendations that I'm making. Like, you would never go wrong. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to learn so many other things about your gut microbiome that will ultimately make your success so much greater. I would say, yes, I would always support that's the route. However, it won't be possible for every person to do a comprehensive stool study. And in that case, the literature out of Pendulum does support using a product called glucose control independent of your own Acromantia levels, that the people who have experienced benefits did not necessarily know that they had low Acromantia.
So is there any side effects of taking Acromantia, even if you have a already good level of Acromantia?
Absolutely not. Not okay. A single side effect. Yeah.
It makes sense to me. I know they did their study of people took it without having a diagnosis of low Acromantia, but it seems to me it makes more sense. Like, the people that are low are probably going to see more benefit.
Absolutely.
But we don't have any data to support that.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And how long do people need to take it before they notice an improvement?
So I would say a minimum of 3 months, but I would suggest probably 6 months.
After you take it for 3 to 6 months, are you good? Can you stop taking it? Like...
The data is still out, so yeah. We don't know for sure, but that would support why you want to know going into it, whether things are going on with your gut, and then you also want your physician to be monitoring your blood sugar levels and looking at insulin, because I think there are definitely other factors.
Yeah. I think there's a few things you can do to help Acromantia, like, take root in your gut.
Yeah. So by pairing it with polyphenols. So polyphenols are just foods like cranberry, blueberries, pomegranate. You can get polyphenols from eating these foods. You can also take it in extracts, and there are supplements. But polyphenols are kind of the food for the good bacteria. So by pairing Acromantia or glucose control with a diet high in polyphenols or a polyphenol supplement, you're going to have better success in making that Acromantia stick.
I think this is so cool. This is one thing I just love about medicine, is when this seems like a major breakthrough for patients, of just, you know, kind of, is this the missing link of what you've been struggling for?
Yeah. So. The interesting thing is it kind of started when we observed with fecal transplant. So someone who had a really bad gut infection, usually called C. difficile, that if they received a fecal transplant to basically cure the C. difficile from a person of normal weight, and that the person who was getting the fecal transplant was obese, their weight normalized, and vice versa. So a normal weight person who got a fecal transplant from an obese person gained weight. And that was the first clue on how important the microbiome is. But now we have the data to show what bacteria is actually influencing that. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully you found this helpful. If you want to get your stool or gut tested to see where your Acromantia is, we'll put a link in the show notes of how to contact us. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to Healthy Her. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a quick 5-star review on your podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our show. Do you have questions or want to discuss a particular topic? You can reach us by emailing ask@dramiebrenner.com or calling 513-204-8403 and leaving a voicemail. We might feature your question or comment in an upcoming episode, so don't miss out on the chance to be a part of the conversation. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back with us next time. Take care, and remember, your healthy her journey begins with you. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute medical advice, the practice of medicine, nursing, or other healthcare services. No patient-physician relationship is formed. The information in the podcast and any references, material, or links are at the sole discretion of the listener and not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should not delay or disregard obtaining medical advice for any medical diagnosis or issues that they may have and should seek medical care or advice from their healthcare provider for any such conditions.